Very good. So an announcement I forgot to do, and thank you for reminding me, is at the Hothouse, our time to pray as a church is on Monday week, which is the 25th from 7:30 to 9. So if you can come along to that, that'd be great to have you. Okay, to the talk. My talk is called this morning, now this afternoon, Following God in a World Full of Confusion. Following God in a World Full of Confusion. Big title, eh? You'd need about 8 or 9 years to work that one out. I think as a pastor and as a leader, and as I read the Old Testament and as I listen to you guys and my friends, both Christian and non-Christian, those searching and those who have found, I realize that one of the jobs of a pastor and one of the jobs of a leader is to know the environment in which he finds himself or she finds herself. And St. Paul did that, and Jesus did that, and the disciples did that, and Peter did that, and Isaiah did that, and all the biblical characters did that. They immersed themselves in the culture in which they found themselves. However, they offered something fresh, which is ultimately the kingdom of God. But in order to do that, they needed to know what was around them. And I think I've been reading a lot over the Christmas holidays, the newspaper clippings, listening to the music, bands like Mumford & Sons, which thanks to people like Mark Burke and so on and so forth, they've been introducing me to. They're kind of the generation below us, you wouldn't know who they are. They're a good band though. And I think, as I find and as I listen, as you listen, I realise that there's one word that's very prevalent in today's society, perhaps even more so today than ever before. And that is the word confusion. I think, would you agree with me when I say that there's so much confusion out there, so much of a sense of people feeling lost, directionless, not knowing where they're going. And as I was reading over the Christmas holidays, I just did a search online, the Irish Times, just to kind of back this up. It was quite subjective what I was feeling, but did a little search on the Irish Times. And the Irish Times is one of the national newspapers here in Ireland, if you're new to the church this morning. I did a search in all the headlines over the last 10 years that brought up the word confusion in the actual headline. And the results were staggering. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of headlines which talk about the confusion that is very evident in today's societies. Let me give you some example. There's confusion for you as consumers, confusion for you in relation to state banking, confusion for you in relation for your future and your job situation, confusion about management, confusion about college, confusion in economic policy, confusion in legislation, confusion in health, confusion in Dole situation, confusion in global situation, confusion in the environment, confusion over Lisbon, and so on and so forth. And I use that as kind of evidence to say that there is so much confusion out there. Would you agree? There's certainly a sense of people being lost and directionless. And I don't say that from my moral high ground or my pious standpoint that I have all the answers, but I know that Christ does. And I know that we can lead people to that place of understanding. So many feel lost and many feel that they don't know where they are. They feel that there's a sense of being stuck in the dark. I've been reading a great author, I recommend it to you, a guy called Friedrich Buchner, or Buchner, you might have heard of him. And he basically, a good friend of mine, gave me a selection of his sermons. And he very much looks at this whole idea of people being confused and lost and stuck in the dark. And this is what he says about the darkness. And this is what he says about today's world. If the darkness today is meant to suggest a world where nobody can see very well, either themselves or each other, or where they are heading, or what their future is, or where they are standing even at this moment, if the darkness today is meant to convey a sense of uncertainty, of being lost, of being confused, of being afraid, if darkness suggests conflict, conflict between races, earthquakes, between nations, between individuals, all pretty much for themselves, when you come right down to it, then we live in a world that knows much about darkness and confusion. Darkness is what our newspapers are all about today. Darkness is what our best contemporary literature is all about today. Darkness fills the skies over our own cities today, no less than over the cities of our enemies, because confusion reigns. And I think as a pastor, as a leader, as a church, and as a Christian, I'm asking, what can we do? What can we offer? What can I share with you that is of something as of a help to you? And I think when I look around the world of being lost or confused, I'm reminded that when you're lost, what's the best thing that you need? When you feel confused or lost, what is one of the best things that you need to get you out of that situation? Let's say you're lost and you don't know. It's a what? A TomTom, yes, he's saying a GPS, very good. Unfortunately, we did not get a TomTom for Christmas, but my wife did buy me an Amazon Kindle, which is an online book reader. Thank you very much, Dillis. No food for the kids for the next 3 months. No. But I think when we're lost, okay, and when we feel stuck, one of the best things is a map. And finding out where you need to go. I talked to a friend recently I've got to know in the gym, and he said, I just don't know where I'm going in my life. If only I had a map. If only I have somewhere that people could show me. Now, this is a map of Antarctica. Has anyone been to Antarctica here? No one. One of my ambitions is to go to Antarctica. I thought it would be a good holiday for the kids. Expensive to get there, but when you get there, not many people on the beaches. I jest, obviously. It is a place I've always wanted to go. My wife laughs at me. I have it on our fridge, the exact cost and how to get there. So one day I'm going to do a mission trip to Antarctica after I go to Haiti. So essentially, this is a map of Antarctica. This is a place that I've never been. And I think you would agree that if I went to Antarctica and if I found myself in a new situation, somewhere that I'd never been before, and I was on this place, I would need a map to certainly help me to know where I was going. And I think I use that as an illustration or a metaphor for people today who find themselves in a totally new situation. It's their proverbial or metaphorical Antarctica. And where do they go? They need a map. Now, the thing about being lost is, though, or being confused, have you ever been totally and utterly lost? You ever found yourself in a situation where you're totally lost? Maybe you're driving somewhere. I see some of you laughing and talking to each other. Well, myself and my wife, Dillis, are getting loads of mentions on this one, Dillis. We drove to Kerry about 4 weeks ago. And I just done a wedding here in the church, and we drove down to Kerry, and we were going from Abbeyfield to Castle Island, and the snow started coming down like I've never seen. And me being the man, for about 10 minutes, still said, are you okay there, love? Oh, fine. I'm totally fine. I know exactly where I'm going. The snow came down to such an extent where there was a turn off to our left, and I couldn't see the signpost, and we couldn't see 5 yards in front of us, couldn't see to our left or right. The road was totally dark. And I said to myself, Dillis, we're lost. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's happening. I began to panic. The kids in the back car. And Dillis just beginning to say, it's okay, love. I know where we're going. I know where we are. No, you don't. I'm the man. I'm driving, so on and so forth. But the emotions that I had, and I think this is very prevalent in society today, I did panic. I blamed Dillis because she didn't see the sign. Even though I knew where I was, I was scared, I was unsure. I was saying, will we go back? Will we go forward? What about the kids? Where are we going to get them to stay? And my mind just, I don't know, because it was late at night, I was beginning to panic a little bit. And I think if we transfer that to today's society, people certainly feel that, don't they? I feel that sometimes, not knowing what is ahead, not knowing what is further down the track. And many people feel like that, but on a much bigger level. And then, of course, my wife, as wives do, as partners do, she said, let's look at the map. No, we don't need the map. I know where I am. And so she picked up the map, and she looked at it, and we passed through town. She says, yes, that's Abbeyfield. It's okay. We're going to be fine. We're going to make it to Kerry. And so when I knew where I was on the map, and when we had this kind of foundation and this platform, this framework to which we could relate ourselves to in the darkness, if you like, suddenly my emotions changed to, I felt safe, I felt secure, I felt confident. Yes, we still had to go from Abbeyfield to Kerry in the snow. Yes, it was bad traffic, but I knew that we had a map that we could trust and a great navigator that could read that map. And I think I was thinking about this with the darkness that surrounds us, with a sense of insecurity around there, people being lost, and people are saying, where is the map? what is the map? How do I read the map? What about faith? What about my faith in this? And I think we as Christians, and we've heard from Peter, we've heard from Kate, we as Christians have been given a map. And that map for me is in three forms. The first is understanding the Spirit of God and how he leads us into all truth. Jesus said when he went up to heaven, he said to his disciples, I have not left you alone. Rather, I have given you the Holy Spirit, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor who will lead you and guide you into all truth. So that's one part of the map. The second part of the map is you, is counsel. Is my wife, when I get lost, I go to her and ask her where we're going. When you're looking for answers and direction in your own life, in your job situations, about Haiti, about what we should do in the future, it's counsel that we go to. And then the last and probably most important is the Word of God. The Word of God is a fantastic map that helps us in the confusion and helps us in the darkness. And for this talk, what I wanted to do was just give you a wonderful scripture, very simply and very succinctly, that I and many of you have learnt over the last while to use as a map in the times of darkness, in the times of despair and not knowing where we're going, and use it as direction and use it as a pointer on which we, in the darkness, can find our way out. And that is Proverbs 3, 1-8. Maybe you want to open it just there very briefly. We're going all the way back to the Old Testament, and we're going to just comment on it for a few moments. So Proverbs 3, verses 1-8. And so what I'm saying to us practically this morning is that the Bible, of course, is a map in itself. The Spirit is a map in itself. You are the map in itself. But this is one bit of scripture that can help us in the confusion. I even shared it with someone in the gym recently, just about what we can learn from this passage and how valuable it was. So let me read it out. My son, and may I put in there my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And I think what I want to do this morning is just comment on this. I guess in my own life and learning from others, I've used this as a map. When we go on a journey and we need to refer to the map, I refer to this and refer to the various components of this, of where I am on the map. What are the things I need to learn? And where are the bits of my life that I'm lost? And where are we lost? The first point is that we see, look at verse 1 there, is that actively remember the teaching. I don't know for you, but is it in the morning that you read the Bible, that you try and remember God's teaching? Is it in your CD as you're driving to work? Is it on your iPod? Do you read the Bible? How do you actively remember the teaching? Again, back to my little metaphor, when we're driving to Kerry, I was trying to remember the route, trying to remember the way that I was going and who had taught me that route. The next is verse 3, is ask God to fill you full of love and faith. Be full of love and faith. I guess when we panic and when we're unsure and when you're confused about the situation, we see the antithesis of these. We see the opposite of these. We see not being faithful. And the characteristics like blame and jealousy and mistrust come out. The opposites of those things come out. But God says in this scripture, go back to my map, realign yourself with faith and love. And how do you do that? Remember the disciples, what was the one prayer they said to Jesus when they really struggled with what he was doing with his life? They said, God, increase our faith. I don't think that's a prayer that we pray enough in the times of uncertainty. It's something I need to learn. It's simply, God, increase our faith. In whatever situation that you are in, just simply say, God, increase our faith. And he will ask, knock and the door will be open, and he will give, maybe not the way you know, but he will do that. That's point number two on this map. The third is the meat in the sandwich, if you like. For those who know Proverbs, always in these blocks of eight scriptures, the author always puts point three as the meat in the sandwich. And this is the hard one. This is when you have to lean not on your own understanding, rather put your trust in God. Lean not on your own understanding. And I don't know about you, but in situations like getting lost on the way to Kerry, I try and lean on my own understanding, being unwilling to go to the map, as it were, being unwilling to go to something that I haven't put together and have to trust in someone else. Trust God first above all else. So just practically, what are you in at the moment, and what situation are you in at the moment that you are putting your own trust in it? And that is a good thing, but it's at the primary level. Or do you need to maybe transpose that and put God's trust, if you like, in that situation? That's a very hard thing to do, because you're taking your hands off. That doesn't mean you don't have responsibility. You do. But you're realigning your understanding to putting your trust in him first. That's a very hard thing to do, because you're ultimately saying, I can't do it. I need your help. And our humanity kicks in, our pride and so on and so forth. But again, realign ourselves to putting trust in God. Point four then is verse six, be thankful to God. I meet this woman, Peggy. She's 85 years old. She's from Harold's Cross. She's got arthritic hands to such an extent that she can't pick anything up. And every time I go in to see her, she's a Christian lady. Every time I go in to see her, she just says, I'm so thankful for all I have, Rob. And I feel like saying, you have nothing. She lives in a small little sort of bedsit. And she just says, I'm so thankful for my son. I'm thankful for my relationship with God. I'm thankful, just very quietly and very humble. And she has this, just she's lived a long time with the Lord, but she can be thankful in every situation. And so can you, you've lost your job, or I'm thinking about my own future, or you're thinking about your situation, even in Haiti, and I don't mean in any way to be distasteful when I say this, but like, how can we be thankful in this situation? Peter highlighted a little bit in Haiti that there's people out there even being thankful what they have. And if they're learning to be thankful, how much more so can we? And that we know Paul said to Timothy, in and out of season, be thankful. And so that's one of the things in God's map, is learning to be thankful in and out of season. And then the last point is, do not be proud in your own eyes. Verse 7. Did anyone see the television during the week with Bernard McNamara, the property developer? Did you see him on the telly? And I guess I had certain views about property developers, that they bought the whole world, this country maybe, into the state that it is, and I guess they do have culpability in that. But when I saw him stand up and say, I'm sorry that I've done this, it's my mistake, I accept responsibility, and I saw the humility in his own eyes, there was something about he had realigned his posture to one that was not prideful, but he said, I'm sorry. And did you hear the commentator afterwards? He didn't know what to say to Bernard, because he'd said, I'm totally wrong in this. I just accept responsibility. And I think when things go wrong, or even when things go right, we have this sort of proclivity or inclination inbuilt, I think, to be prideful in our own eyes. And it's sometimes great to say, yeah, that's good, I did that, that's okay. But I think there's another posture, and Christ was the ultimate when he emptied himself of basically not being prideful and just giving the glory to his Father. And ultimately saying on the cross, forgive them, for they don't know what they were doing. Not saying, oh yes, I've won it, I've finally done it. He was in a posture of humility. And I think I use this and I link this back to my first point about needing a map. The whole Bible is a map. The Spirit of God is a map. Us as God's people are a map. But here is something I would like to offer you as a portion of scripture that I would say in varying degrees links into the whole of scripture in these 5 points. And if you could take each one of these points and in some way build upon them over the next year, focus upon them in the next year, being thankful, trusting God first, ask God to fill you full of love and faith and not the opposites of those things, not to be prideful in your own eyes. If you could take those things and learn them, and on the map of life, to use them as a reference point to see how you're doing. because when myself and Dillis were going to Kerry, we passed by Ross Gray, we stopped off for McDonald's there, appeased the kids for about 10 minutes, we went through Adair, we went over the difficult time of going from Abbeyfield into Castle Island, and our journey, like life, was this undulating journey of varying parts, but we knew that we were on the right direction when we passed by Adair. We knew we were on the right direction when we went by Limerick. And when we got lost, we referred to the map. And like in your own life, you can use these things as markers. Am I thankful? If I'm not, I'm a little bit off. Refer to the map, get back on track. Am I prideful? Maybe I've gone off the road here, get back on track. So use these five things as markers. Because the amazing things, we don't have time to go into it now because I would love to pray and just finish with a song, is that studying Proverbs and reading Proverbs in depth over the last one and reading people like Frederick Buechner, there's a huge difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing things. Knowledge is me knowing these things, but wisdom is how we put them into practice. So you can learn these things, but do we put them into practice in a godly way? And I think that's the ultimate test. That's what the author was saying in Proverbs. That's what we're learning when we realize we need a map. It's how we put them into practice. How you put them, how I put them into our practical situations. That's the key. And finally, just to finish with one small little story and then we pray, is that when I think about this, and when I think of my own life, and when I talk to you guys and others, we get stuck and we get lost most of the time. But we do not have an autocratic father that removes himself and says, you find your own way. Not at all. He says, I'm here. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. For I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Nothing can separate you from my love and for those who are in Christ Jesus. These are the promises that are in Scripture. They're not my own words. But I think sometimes our tank can become empty. Our tank of faith can become empty. Our tank of belief can become empty. Yesterday in Drimna, I was praying for some way I could maybe link this into a metaphor that would be understandable to all of us. And as I was doing the talk, our water ran out in the house. And the tank ran right down. You know what happens when a tank runs down? The air gets into the system. And there was an airlock. Tried to turn on the taps, no water. Nothing in the house. Needed to drink, needed to use the toilet, so on and so forth. Very small compared to Haiti. But if you like, the tank was dry and there was an airlock. So I remembered a friend of mine, a plumber, said to me, if you ever want to get rid of an airlock, you attach your hot water system to the cold feed that's coming in, because the cold feed is coming in, and flush out the airlock. And so myself and the family had great fun with hoses, and Ethan hooking up hoses, and myself and Dillis trying to shout through walls, and so on and so forth. But we did was we hooked up the cold feed into the hot water where the airlock was, turned it on. Suddenly there was this bubbling and gurgling, and the pipes began to rattle, and then all the water began to flow out again and our tank filled back up and we could use it again. I think that's a very good metaphor for our lives. We can feel that our tank is empty and there's an airlock in our system. We're lost. We're stuck on the road to from Dublin to Kerry and we're stuck and we're lost. But what's the answer? It's in John 4. It's the idea of immersing yourself in God's Spirit. For all of us are thirsty and we need refreshing of God's Spirit to push out the airlocks that are blocking us and allow the water to flow again. And so Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 8. Remember the teaching. There's a PowerPoint that Berkey just put up there for 2 seconds just to show you. Remember the teaching. Fill yourself full of love and faith. Trust in God above all else. Be thankful to God and do not be proud in your own eyes. And remember that God is with you on the road and he's given you a map. So let's pray. So Dave, you want to come up and we'll sing that song, it'd be great. So let's just close our eyes and think of our situation and think of our world and think of the confusion and think of where we need to unblock our taps, where we feel lost, where we need to refer to the map, as it were. Heavenly Father, I pray that my words have been applicable to the situations of your people, and I pray that, and we know your word never falls short, Lord. It always fulfills the purpose for which it was sent. And I pray, Lord, that your people will think of the situations, and we will think of the situations where we seem lost. And God, we will get back on the map, and that we will trust in the map, God. And we won't be a church or a people that blames or a group that is prideful or unwilling to get involved with the remedy of the situation, God. But we will trust in you and lean not in our own understanding, and you will make the crooked path straight. So just for your own situation, whatever that is, wherever you maybe feel lost, and if you don't, think of someone that you know is lost and pray for them. And then Dave's going to finish off with this last song. So let's pray just for a couple of moments, and then Dave will close the service with this last song. Maybe look at the words on the screen and think about where you need to realign yourself for this coming year. And remember, God's Spirit is the oil in this to make his yoke easy and light.